Hello and welcome to episode number 9 of Cacao with Pranamore podcast.
Hello, welcome.
Well, we are here today on one of the last days of 2024. Sitting here reflecting to each other, we were just speaking a little earlier on some of our biggest lessons and truths uncovered this year, and we would love to share them with you.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful idea for, you know, today, which is, what is today? The 28th of December.
Yes, and probably when we publish this, it will be right before the new year. So
exactly. So it's the perfect timing, you know, always between Christmas and New Year's, or for, you know, other religions, Hanukkah.
Gotta light the menorah.
The time of the year is so beautiful to just reflect, take it a bit slow, a bit more slow than usual. And it's that energy of in between, you know, in between the years, so to speak.
Yes.
And for me, it's totally the energy of doing a bit less, you know, work or creation or these kind of things. It's a bit less the doing mode. It's more the, oh, okay, you know, relaxing, reflecting, transitioning, this kind of mode. So it's perfect to think about learnings of the year.
I think some people rush to try to wrap up and create as much as they can by the end of the year because, for example, I've had friends that, you know, they wanted to launch that six-figure course by the end of the year and they didn't do it yet. So they're like hustling and in the scramble mode. Though one of the coolest reflections is that perhaps that can wait, right? Most people right now aren't even online during this time. Many people are on vacation. Most of our friends even here are traveling. So this is a true time to take a pause and reflect. It's not the time to hustle and get that thing created right now.
Yeah, totally. It's that energy. And I think it's also good to give yourself some time. And it's just the easiest time of the year now to really take time off, to be honest, you know, holidays and then after the holidays and everyone is kind of like, you know, tuning down a little bit and it's not so much happening anymore. So I think it's for most of the people, it's the easiest time to take the invitation, you know, and take some time off.
To go inward, right? So this episode is all about going inward to reflect on this last year and really celebrate yourself for the learnings, you know, to understand where you've, what challenges you might have overcome, what big realizations that you had, perhaps anything you'd like to release, any patterns, anything that you say, okay, that was a big year, you know, we overcame a lot. What would I like to let go of so the next year can be even more fun and flowing and abundant?
I know what I like to release.
Oh, I know what it's going to be, but I won't spoil it. How about talk about it for a moment? I'm going to go light the menorah while you talk about
sweet.
It. Because I'm also Jewish and Christian, for anyone that didn't know. I celebrate nice. Everything. Anyway, talk about it.
Yeah, so actually I have a release coming tomorrow, which is a music release. So the same for me that I also didn't manage to completely don't do anything these days. You know, I had to, or I wanted to do a final release and this year and it was good after the holidays, but even then, you know, for me the same, I, you know, we spent the last couple of days over Christmas, we spent with family and friends, it was really beautiful. So I was totally not on, you know, my phone or promoting or writing anything about the release. So it's another good reminder that it's probably just good for me next year to just really completely take the time off. So if you do want to check out my release, it's a really cool musical experience. I say it's more than music. It's a mini album that includes, different genres, different vibes, and also a guided meditation sound journey that's perfect to release and let go and start fresh into the new year. So yeah, we can link that in the show notes, or you can find me anywhere at Maxim Marlow. But yeah, so waiting for Fernie to come back here to the microphone, and then we can share our top learnings from this year.
All right, so we are back and the menorah is lit, and I was just saying how it is in the Jewish tradition, the Festival of Lights, and how that symbolism can relate to this episode as we are illuminating some of the biggest lessons and challenges that we overcame this year. And hopefully that can light the way for you to help you realize also you're not alone, that maybe some of these lessons and challenges may resonate deeply with you, and to realize that, you know, these lessons and challenges are also universal, and we can help each other and light the way for each other. So
beautiful.
All right, so the first one, rock, paper, scissor, who goes first?
Okay.
Rock, one, two, paper, three. Scissor. Oh, you come
in. Oh, you went way too late and you still lost. That was so funny. I was taking
the
first.
I didn't see it. Okay, go first.
You were just so funny. You definitely go first now.
Oh, I go first.
Yeah, because you lost.
Okay. I like going first.
And you want to go first.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so one of the lessons that happened, it actually came up in a situation the last couple days. I won't go into the situation because that's not important, though the lesson and the learning is the important of, okay, so let's say there is someone who comes to you with a reflection of any sort, and there's two paths. One path is to take it personally and let it dampen. Let's say you had a really cool experience and then you got a reflection and then you're like, wait, that doesn't seem true. I don't really agree with that. There's one thing that can happen. One, it can dampen your whole bright mood, your whole perception of how you experienced something, what you internally felt inside. You might have felt radiant and so happy and alive. And if something comes to you, feedback or criticism or judgment or a reflection that doesn't really resonate with you, there's one path of letting that completely crush your spirit and to take you down into a spiral of negativity and self-loathing or being a victim. And then the second route I've realized is the route that I chose to take, and I was very happy because a lot of times I haven't taken this path, is that I took the path of thank you, of gratitude for letting a test come in to test whether or not I was secure and grounded in my knowing, in my truth of saying, you know what, I created magic here, and this was a remarkable experience, and I love myself, and I'm so secure within myself that I can say, wow, this is someone's lens, and I can give them, they can just take that right back, and I don't have to let rain on my parade ruin, you know, the joy and the sunlight that I had experienced. So that was a big lesson for me. And I was very happy and very grateful. It took me a while to be able to have that experience. For many times I let judgment, criticism, and those things really, really dampen my joy. So not this time.
That's great. Yeah. Sounds beautiful. And that reminds me about one thing I do. I think I developed it this year, yeah, pretty much like a morning routine. So when I do some prayers, and it's funny that this episode started on a little bit like a religious note, uh-huh. Although I think I would like to highlight that I think neither of us had a really like strong religious upbringing or background or anything like that. And I, speaking for myself, I don't follow a particular religion, though I believe, I would say I'm a believer. It sounds powerful. It's nice. And, you know, I'm a spiritual. So I believe in the higher forces, in some magic of the universe. And I believe in good intentions and some prayers and spirits. So, and I did find a more connection to God this year also. And God can really mean anything, like anything, whatever you wanted to mean to you, any religion, any, you know, shape and name. I would just say, to me, that's just the higher power, you know, higher spirit, higher powers up there from the universe. And so a part of the little prayers that I do every morning, it's just like, it changes, you know, every day a little bit. But one pretty much fixed part of it, especially over the last couple of weeks, was that I always like I'm always showing gratitude for the challenges that come, and I say like thank you for the growth and thank you for the challenges and thank you for only giving me the challenges that I can handle, you know, and thank you for giving me the right challenges and the right amount of, you know, difficulty and growth involved. And so what you just shared reminded me about that, you know, it's like these moments where you said, okay, thank you for, you know, the growth, thank you for the opportunity to be stronger and learn from it. So that was nice.
I really love that too. I love the power of that morning prayer, that morning gratitude. You can call it a prayer. You can just call it an affirmation too. And it's whatever resonates with you. I really love that, because gratitude is one of the other learnings too that I've had this year around all of these initiations, let's say, or challenges with either relationship or family or abundance, all of those things. It's like, thank you for that challenge, because when I overcome it, I feel even more glorious. I feel like, wow, I was resilient. I didn't let that thing or that roadblock, that fear, muffle my dream, my desire, my hope, my faith. So, and having faith has been also one of the, for me too, and for us as a relationship, has been one of the deepest learnings and surrenders to let more come in, right?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, faith is such a powerful thing, and I think it doesn't really matter how you get it, where you get it from, how you call it, you know, if you have faith and can remind yourself that you have faith, that's just awesome, you know. And if that helps you to pray to God, follow a specific religion, or pray to some other spirits or goddesses from other cultures, or to no non-god named at all, I think that's all, it's amazing.
Nature too, praying to, or not even needing to use the word pray, but sitting with nature, meditating with nature, seeing the beauty in something that has, it's hard to explain nature sometimes, of how beautiful it is, what created this, right? It's, you know, having that wow splendor and admiration to something that's outside of, you know, our control. Nature just happens. Nature is indescribable in the essence of how remarkable. You just see the flowers grow, like, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so that's part of I think it's one important thing, is maybe not directly called a learning of 2024 for me, but somehow it is, because that's just what I found out for myself. So I start the day the best. And for me, it is, I'm still, so when I wake up, I'm still in bed. And that really, I found that helps me to do two things. And one thing is, so I keep my phone off, like three things. So, okay, first thing would be a little bit longer digital detox, because when you wake up in the morning, you're in a very powerful state. You're still in kind of like a dreamy state. So it's super powerful to use that time to connect a little bit to spirit or to yourself, give yourself some time to wake up. So I do a little, my little, you can call it prayer, you can call it visualization. I show gratitude for the day, and I do that quiet, like in my mind, you know, and just, you know, focus on some nice things and visualize some things, speak of gratitude and calling in some things that I would like to call in for the day, you know. Even, for example, say, yeah, I'm, you know, thankful for this day, that I can experience this day here, and for all the beautiful things that happen, you know, whatever you like for this day. That's what I do. And then pretty much at the same time, I do some stretches in bed, some like yin yoga stretches. And I really find it difficult for myself to get that into my day generally. Like, I'm not the, you know, that I should probably do more yoga, but I somehow, you know. So that's the first thing I do every day. And that's the only reason why I do it every day, because I do it first thing and then it's done. And it's became a non-negotiable for me. So I don't go out of bed before I do that. And that is like maybe like 15 minutes total. It's not a long time, but it's really valuable to me. And I notice my, you know, my change, and how much more flexible I am, how good it is for my body, how good it is to wake up like that with a relaxed mind. And then I continue to keep my phone off usually. And I do my bathroom stuff and, you know, showering and all that. And eventually when I feel okay, now I, you know, drink something, and then I feel okay, I'm ready to go into this world of messages and things, then I turn it on. So that this became a really solid morning routine for me over the year.
So that's a big lesson and a big learning, is how morning time is sacred. And I resonate with that so much. I've seen you adapt that into your life, the stretching, and I've noticed a huge difference in you as you've made that a commitment. And it's really beautiful to see that, because I'm a yogi. So
yeah, So just talking about little steps, people are always interested in, you know, seeing the little steps, how to get started without doing major life changes. Yeah, that's what I did, you know, doing one thing in the morning, like one type of stretch, and adding another one. And then I added another one. Mm-hmm. And now I have like, I think it's like four different ones. And yeah, that's awesome. So that's how we can build up. It would be easy for me to add one more, I guess. And at some point I could possibly build up to having like a 25-minute
It's great for people who don't want to get out of bed in the morning. It's like, just have your yoga. I mean, I once recorded a bed yoga sequence. It's not on YouTube anymore. That's maybe funny. I'll make a new one. But I did a hotel room bed yoga class that was on YouTube.
Yeah. You're right, though. It's a little nice reason to stay in bed a little bit longer. And at the same time, it also really helps to get it done, because you don't do anything else before.
Right. And it's great for your digestion too. It's like you can kickstart that by doing some twists in bed if you just want to start there. You know, having the twists in bed, that's a game changer.
Yeah.
All right. Next lesson.
Your turn.
All right. My turn. Another lesson. Oh gosh, had so many. Well, in the relationship, I'll just go into that, because that was a big lesson this year, is reminding myself and ourselves that we're on the same team. And you know, sometimes in relationship, you are each other's mirror, and that can be a really challenging place to be when the ego wants to be right. The ego is really, really committed to being right. And I've learned that it's not about being right or being wrong. It's about listening. It's about learning. It's about seeing where you can grow, can listen to the other's perspective, and remember that you're on the same team. And this can, for me, this was a huge lesson. And it's also something that I started to take into other relationships as well. And just really remembering that you can see everything as a challenge of who's right or wrong, or what side is correct, or you can realize, hey, we are in this greater picture that just wants pretty much the same thing, you know, love, peace, joy, health. And when you can break it down to that really simple concept, it takes away a lot of the triggers and struggles and minute, mundane looping that many of us get into in the daily life.
Yeah, totally agree.
So a simple trick for many people, that including myself, was to take a deep breath in those situations where I would loop and just my ego would fire up and just want to be right. One of the simplest techniques I can say that works for me is taking a pause, putting my hand on my heart, and taking a deep breath and say, I love you. You're valued here. You're wonderful. You're loved. And then it doesn't have to be about being right. It doesn't have to be about, like, I'm safe to make a mistake. I'm hand on my heart, deep breath. I'm safe in this. It's a human experience. I'm learning. I'm growing. And then to look at myself with that love and compassion, to see the other, to say, wow, okay, where, like, what's really going on here? What's really the deeper learning, the deeper feeling? And to notice what comes up and accept it with love rather than fighting yourself or another.
Yep. Yeah, totally. I agree. That sounds good.
He's like, it's simple.
What to add? What should I add to it?
What to add to
it? I can relate, but yeah.
Was there anything that you know, in this last year, for example, that in those situations, anything that helped you to move forward with grace, to move forward with more patience, compassion, understanding?
Well, I mean, I think you can remember so many situations where I just say, you know, or where I kind of insist we discuss things, or when you know, we have situations or little clashes or discussions where I kind of like insist that we move through it and not just like, to, oh yeah, let's move through it and let's have more harmony again, but more like, yeah, let's talk through it and like really make sure we understand each other's perspective and also have longer, that often leads to longer, kind of sometimes exhausting, kind of like exhausting, you know, talks that one would maybe sometimes rather like to jump over and avoid. But I insist on doing that because my main mantra is like, yeah, at least we can learn from it, you know, and then the whole thing is going to be worth it. Then the whole like argument, the whole disharmony, the whole like talk, conversation, whatever, it's worth it if we learn from it, so we make sure it doesn't happen again. So that's the one like guiding principle I have usually, is to at least go full in. Like anything that happened, any argument, any discussions, any kind of like little fight, just, you know, go through it, go fully in, and then get to a resolution where we don't have to agree. Like both parties don't have to agree, but at least we can understand each other better and like ideally have some learnings how we can handle the same situation better next time.
I love that. One of the things that I've learned through that is that, you know, I was always in the past, in like the past years before us, I was avoiding all of these sorts of conversations and discussions and having a big fear of having that intimacy. And I've learned, one of the biggest learnings I've had is that those discussions and those, you know, disharmonies can actually create more coherence and more resonance and more depth, more intimacy in our relationship by going in there, going into the fire and then coming out feeling more cleansed. And
I mean, usually that is, yeah, it's easy to just like, oh, jump back again to harmony and then somehow, you know, hug and then, you know, move on. But that usually leads to the fact that these situations come up over and over again, and the same situations, the same situations, the same triggers. And, you know, if you always sweep it under the rug, it's not going to make it better. No. And this is not only for relationships in a romantic sense. This is also for, you know, friendships or work relationships, anything like that. I think it's always helpful to have the possibility to really honestly communicate and then, yeah, speak what you have on your heart and what you feel, and then, you know, move through things. And this just creates a lighter connection because nothing just accumulates over time. Yeah.
I love that. That's such a beautiful lesson, and such a beautiful also lesson to ask. For me, this was a big lesson, is to ask myself how I'm feeling and to ask myself what it is, like, what is it that I actually want? What is it that I actually need? A lot of times I'm zombie walking around this earth, kind of, either it's two things. One, it's not really wanting to see what's inside because I'm afraid that it'll get rejected, or that there's not a safe space for me to actually express my needs, or feeling that they're not as important as someone else's. And then my other thing is I spend so much time caring and doing things for others, whether it's clients or work or creating things or you know, taking care of things on the to-do list, that I forget about my own feelings and checking in. So one of the important lessons I've learned this year is to really check in with myself every day. How am I feeling? How do I want to enjoy this day? Is there anything that's left unresolved within my heart that I want to share with my partner, that I want to share in the world in some way? And it's very easy. So a very practical thing that you can do is take that time, whether you're, you know, Maxime told me that, you know, it's could be when you're brushing your teeth. It could be as simple as that. You don't have to carve out this like hour for meditation and breath work unless you want to. For me, a lot of the things do come up though when I'm in meditation or breath work. Even if it's a short session, having that really uninterrupted time, no phone, no technology, breath, just silence or some really healing music, that will take me into this place where I go, ah, that's the moment. That's what I needed to know. That's exactly what my heart wanted to feel and express. A lot of times then I can move through the feelings on my own because I can hold myself in breathwork and meditation. So yeah, that's just a really good way for, you know, to have a time with yourself, time to introspect, time to be in that that safety of your own heart. Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful.
So, where are we with this list of learning? Should we give a couple more before we go into our part two next episode?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we decided to do a two-part series because there probably is going to be a lot to talk about. So, yeah, for the first part, I just had the reminder about, again, I would say relationships, but also, again, not only romantically necessarily. Can also be friends and colleagues or any type of relationship. So I had another reminder for myself. What I noticed is that there were so many examples in our relationship, for example, that I felt again, or I noticed again, that if I hold high standards to myself, you know, like I have, you know, high aspirations, maybe sometimes put a little bit of pressure on myself, and I want to do things very well, specific things. I take on a lot. I take on a lot of responsibilities. I, you know, if you could call it, I perform, you know, if you want to put it in words, you know, in life, you know, I take on a lot of things, and I try to do them well, and I like learn and grow and all that, all these things. So you could say I have high aspirations towards myself, and you can also say I set myself high standards. And I think this is not necessarily a bad thing, though I also know I'm on a long journey already of being more gentle to myself, more compassionate, and more take it more easy sometimes, and, you know, remove some of the pressure and some of the, you know, responsibilities that I take on myself, just to, you know, make it a bit easier for myself. Though I noticed that this is definitely something that influences the way I act with you, for example, Fern, like in the relationship or with any other people, because, yeah, it's just some sort of like expectation that I put on the other person, whoever it is, of like, yeah, meeting me on the same standard, you know, meeting me on the same standard with the same dedication, the same motivation, the same, you know, energy, the same maybe skills in some sense, or it's like a counterpart, you know. And so I noticed that it's really helped sometimes to dial that back a little bit and remember that, yeah, we are all different and different people, and I can first of all be more gentle to myself and take things a bit more easy sometimes, and then second of all, I can also still do whatever I do and have all my aspirations and high standards for myself, though that doesn't mean that I necessarily need to set that for someone else, which sometimes is challenging in a relationship because I feel, you know, it should be kind of like equal and fair, and, you know, each of us should, you know, contribute and do things, and, you know, but still, it's a good reminder that we are just different people. We have different capacities, you know, and different skills. And then you talk about masculine and feminine, and then there's also a whole different level, you know. It's a whole different game, so to speak. So yeah, just a nice reminder for myself to be okay. Maybe, you know, be more compassionate and more gentle towards myself and towards other people.
Oh, I love that. Sweetie, thank you. It's such a big learning, and one that, you know, it's really humbling to realize to ourselves, like, hey, I've been hard on myself. I know I am too. We just are hard on ourselves in different ways. I'm harder on my body and my physical appearance, and that's a big learning for me also, is to be more gentle to myself and, you know, treat myself like a friend or a lover rather than treating myself like an enemy or like bullying myself sometimes. So that's another big learning, because a couple weeks ago I was really feeling some symptoms in my body that weren't really ideal. And in those situations, I was getting really down on myself, aging and this and that, and getting in a loop of, you know, having, I've had terrible autoimmune symptoms before. So it's really easy to go into that like PTSD role of, you know, oh gosh, it's been so difficult and it's going to get that way again. And then I can't do XYZ and I won't be attractive, and going into those spirals. And that's bullying myself, right? My body is so resilient. My body wants to heal. And this week, I felt so energetically light, you know? I even was eating heavier foods than normal, but I programmed myself. I programmed my mind and my state and my digestive system. I said, this is going to be easy. You're going to be fine. You're going to feel light and clear and digest well. And I really gave myself, I flooded myself with positivity. I said, you know, my organs are going to be all functioning properly. I'm going to come home, be light, and go back into my workouts. And I did. I started doing that yesterday right away, like right after we got back from my family gathering. And that's because I literally gave myself those positive affirmations and the encouragement that I can eat comfort food and enjoy life and have fun and be around people I love and have a great time. And that was a big learning also this past year of letting it be easy, letting things be harmonious, seeing this, seeing everything as the highest possible situation rather than always thinking about the fear or the worry that something wasn't going to be, favorable, you know, thinking, okay, I'm going to see it as the most, it doesn't have to be perfect, though it's going to be great. I don't have to go into the loop of fear and worry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this, I have two things that I noticed, two big learnings. One learning is connecting to that, which is, I think it's just a beautiful, what you just talked about, food, a beautiful reminder that we've both been on the journey of like finding out kind of what's the best way to eat. I think we talked about that in the previous episodes. And we mentioned that we tried, you know, raw, vegan, fruitarian, like kind of like pretty extreme ways of eating in that sense. And then we allowed ourselves, now each of us basically in different, little bit different ways, but we allowed more flexibility. And again, and we tried different things, especially now over Christmas, but also even before already, we incorporated already changes and we open up, you know. And I think it's just a beautiful reminder for myself. It's just so nice to try something and be dedicated to it and follow some sort of like plan, or you could even call it like a strict plan. It's like when you do cleanse, or you try something new, try a new diet, or you stop eating something, and then you do that for a while and see how it feels to you, and then it might change already your senses and your body and taste and many things. And then you develop some sort of trust to yourself that you can experiment again and maybe even go back to what you did before, or to parts of it, or incorporate parts of it again into the diet or into your plan. And you trust yourself that you will still not just like completely fall back, but you will notice a difference because you now have a different level. Like for me, for example, it was, I had different tastes. You know, my body wanted different things now, and I have a much different, a much, much higher sensibility. So I could try things again that I stopped eating and eat them again to see and honestly notice, okay, well, you know, I get it. It has some sort of satisfaction, though it really doesn't feel good in my body, and it just, it's not worth it, you know? And then, so you develop this sort of trust in your newly learned abilities that your body changed, and trust in your, yeah, ability to just like honestly check in with yourself and feel what is good and what's not good. And then it opens up that you might incorporate some things again, and you are more flexible, though overall you still keep the general compass in the right direction, and you find a way that feels good for you. You know, that doesn't feel too restricted, but it just feels nice. So that was a good learning and experience also for me and for us, if I speak for you too, this year. So yeah, that was really nice to experience that. Okay, you know, I can open it up again in that sense, and still, it's still working.
Yeah, I mean, your body looks banging. It's great. Even working today, working out in the yard on Fairyland on our
in
land.
In underwear.
In your, yeah,
because
and you're really
the easiest thing.
Tidy,
especially
little
when
tidy
the washing machine doesn't
sport.
Work.
Yeah. Tidy sport underwear. I was like, okay, keep it up, sweetie. You look fucking hot.
Yeah, so I have something else. If you want to comment on that, feel free, but otherwise I move on.
I was just complimenting you. Take it.
That's sweet. I take it.
Okay.
Yeah. It's always nice. Another one of my learnings this year, and I think it's a little bit related to it, where it's about opening up a bit more flexibility and flow, and maybe going back to something or part of it. It's the whole. So there's one quote, one sentence that I don't remember where I heard it or where I read it, but it really became a very prominent sentence in my mind over the last couple of months, like weeks and months. So this sentence is, to get to do what you really want to do, you got to do what you have to do. So sometimes, and that means you might have a certain plan or something, like a dream job you want to do, or, you know, a specific vision of something, you know, that you want, and that sometimes that is not exactly immediately available for you or possible to you for you to do. Let's say you want to change your job and you want to do something completely different, you know. Let's say, like, you work in a corporate environment, then you want to become a yoga teacher. So it's one thing to say, oh, you know, I ditch everything and I stop. I don't want to do the job anymore. I don't want to work in a Wall Street anymore. I just, like, stop doing it. I want to become a yoga teacher. And you just stop doing it and you try to become a yoga teacher. And then it might be challenging because that's what you really want to do. But you still have to, you know, earn some money to pay your rent that you still have to pay, or have transition time. And sometimes people chase these dreams, which is amazing. For me, for example, it would be music. Okay, you know, I want to be a musician. I want to make my music. And then noticing, okay, you know, actually, right now, that's what I really want to do. But there's something else I have to do to eventually be able to do what I really want to do, which for me meant to go back again and use my skills that I built up over all these years and do a little bit of other work, you know, and being fine and acknowledging that that is a good time now. It's a good time to use my skills, and also because sometimes I think people have the tendency to really push everything away that they did in the past. I'm like, oh no, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm completely done. Like, I stopped doing the freelance, you know, design work, these kind of things, and I pretty much left the entrepreneurial, like, startup space completely. And so for me, it was a little bit of, like, yeah, taking some step back in that sense, and embracing again some of my skills that I have and some of the work, and finding out actually, okay, cool. Actually, I do like that part, and I still have the one thing I do. When I for example, I stayed with a startup I co-founded, and it actually had a really nice turn. So I love doing it, and the team is great, and we have really good progress. And my role is much smaller than what it was at some point in the past, though. Yeah, I really found my solid anchor point in that, and I like doing it. It's a big part of my life. So it's okay. I don't have to push away everything only because I changed my life. I can also keep parts. And then again, I also noticed, yeah, you know, it might be good for me and my music and for all the ideas and visions I have to do what I have to do, which is, you know, see if I do some other work that, you know, I can use my skills that I have. And it's easy for me to build up some funds that I can then invest into my music, and where I can build my music and take the pressure away a little bit too of what I really want to do. So that's what I mean with the sentence. You know, sometimes to get to do what you want to do, you have to do what you
have to do.
Like, you got to do what you have to do.
That's such a good one, because it really brings us into that grounded reality, because oftentimes we live in this world of manifest this and this quantum leap here and do all that. And I see a lot of people getting lost in this quantum leaping, manifesting things from, you know, this, yeah, ungrounded reality, that I totally believe in manifestation. I totally believe in getting yourself in alignment so you can achieve and be in that dream. Though at the same time, we do live in a physical world on Earth, and there's a reason that we are on Earth, and we do have things like bills to pay and food to put on the table and just, you know, the human thing. So we're here to learn how to do that, and that oftentimes means doing the human jobs of, you know, doing things that might not feel all the time in perfect alignment with our soul's mission. Yeah. Though there's a reason that those jobs are there for us. They're there to teach us certain skills, perhaps, or have certain connections and relationships that are part of our soul's learnings and the soul contracts that are necessary to get us to that next step.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think the most important thing is what helped me is to acknowledge that it doesn't mean failure, you know? It doesn't mean failure that I want to do something and I'm not there yet, or, you know, it just takes some more time to build it up. And it doesn't mean failure. It's more, I think failure would be if I would be so stubborn and say, oh, I insist I don't do any of my past things anymore, and I'm just here, and, you know, even if I can only eat bread and drink water, I think this would be more failure, you know, because it's just, yeah, like, standing in your own way, standing in my own way. So, yeah, I just learned that, hey, yeah, I can still manifest, and I can visualize, and I can have my plans and my dreams and my visions, and I can also choose to support myself the best possible way on the journey.
That's a big learning too, right? Because yeah, we have so many skills, both of us have so many skills, and I ask spirit or God, you know, show me how to be of service in the, like, just show, use me to whatever, however I can be of service. I know, you know, I've had so many trainings, and so, you know, I love so many different modalities, and it's interesting. I don't really advertise that I still offer Akashic Records readings, which is, if anyone is familiar with that, it's this channeling of a certain frequency of energy, of source energy, known as the Akashic Records. And I channel this, and yeah, my past clients will just reach out to me in those moments where I haven't advertised it. I'm not really offering these as sessions most of the time. And in the moment I ask God, I say, hey, like, show me how to be of the highest service right now, or bring into me whoever needs whatever I can offer. And it's so funny and so interesting what comes in when I surrender my ego's desire to do one certain thing, whether that's music or breathwork trainings or whatever it is, whatever I'm driving forward, or couples retreats. If my vision is, let's call in an amazing couple to come on a retreat with us, but that's not happening that week, I let the universe bring in what is meant to come in that space. And if nothing comes in that space, I have this trust and surrender. Okay, I meant to do more creation that week, or I meant to, you know, record a meditation or record something that then will be of service if nothing's completely just, you know, making itself really known to me in that moment that that's what's meant to happen. So
yeah, and that's touching on another learning I just remembered. So you just mentioned that, you know, working with people and calling in retreats or clients, and I think one major thing we learned this year is it's really healthy to trust that whoever's meant to come work with us is going to come or not come. So for example, we have many requests for retreats or trainings, retreats, and I mean, you have it for yourself, but also we have that for us together when we do retreats together. And it's so important that we get people that are really aligned with us, and mostly that's what we call in, that's what we manifest, and it mostly also works out, works that way. And that also means that sometimes we do get requests, and then we have calls with people, or you have interactions, communications, and then sometimes these people, then they don't don't do anything with us. They don't, for different reasons, you know, they don't reply anymore, or they, something is not aligned in terms of traveling or timing, dates, whatever. And, you know, over and over again, I think we talked about it. So we noticed that feeling initially in all these situations of like, oh, damn, you know, like we would have been nice to have the retreat right now. You know, of course, it would have been nice to have the, you know, do another retreat or have the balance coming in. And then I think we got better in noticing and learning very fast that, yeah, it's actually fine. It's good. You know, probably it's not meant to be. Probably it's better that these people don't come, that this person doesn't work with you, because probably it's not aligned. And the one that I really aligned, the ones I really aligned, then they will come book. So, for example, we just had that recently again. We had a call with some other people interested in retreats, and we had different calls. And to be honest, we noticed straight away, yeah, that's probably not going to be the most aligned retreat. And we, you know, let it go, and then, you know, it didn't happen.
The interesting thing is when you have, let's say you talk to an amazing client and you're like, oh my gosh, this is going to be so exciting. I really align with them. I really love them.
Yeah, we had that too.
We just had that. Just and I think of it as the universe's filter. Sometimes God, spirit, the universe, whatever we want to name it, has a knowing far greater than we can. And even when we think that the person that we're talking to on Zoom or, you know, on the WhatsApp that day, that feels like, wow, this is going to be the perfect dream retreat. And the universe filters that out for us. And I've learned to, you know, instead of saying, you know, getting myself in this, you know, self-deprecating thing of like, what did we think? What's going on? It's more, wow, thank you, universe, because you knew something greater than we did. It wasn't the most aligned for whatever reason. And then that trust of that space is meant to be in our schedule, first of all, for what is meant to come in, whether that's retreat. I remember one time we were thinking we were going to have a retreat come in, or we had something planned. And instead of that time, we had the space, and I don't remember what we did in the space, but it was very, very meaningful that we had that time off. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, basically, you can just always trust in that maybe something better will come, you know?
Yeah. And the clients that do come, so I have a couple breathwork trainings. I have three right now in the schedule for January and when is the other? May, and two in May. And there's this feeling of the souls that are coming. Like every conversation I had with them, it was like this instant yes click. And that's the feeling that I love to have for all the retreats that come in. It's on mutual both sides. It's this knowing of this feels really good in my soul.
Yeah.
So that's a big lesson this year, and yeah, that I'm sure taking into the new year.
And again, this can be translated to all different kinds of services, interactions, clients. It doesn't need to be retreats. I know that for myself from the past, from like, you know, freelance projects or different other work commitments and projects. And yeah, I think that's just a beautiful reminder of, yeah, trusting in whoever is aligned and meant to be working with you is going to do that. And yeah, becoming a little bit more less attached to the fact of, yeah, it would be nice to have some, you know, projects or work abundance and, you know, seeing that part. So that's been a really beautiful learning. And we had to go through it multiple times in different scenarios and situations, right?
Some very funny ones, but yes, and yeah, some not so funny ones. And it really brings us back to reminding each other and being on that team, like, hey, don't get down about that. You know, like this is just spirit. This is just spirit reminding us, like, okay, it's gonna be fine. It always was, and it always will be.
Yeah, and sometimes it also can be an invitation to just put the focus somewhere else. Like we had this in the past, where we had all these like communications and requests, and then all these like maybes, and then nothing really happened. So, and then it's a good moment to ask yourself, oh, here, why does it happened the way it does right now? And I usually ask you, so it's really like, why? It's so strange. What's going on here? And then it's a good moment to reflect a little bit and think about something else that could maybe more important right now, you know? And this could be for us, it actually was for quite a while, it was, you know, getting ready to move into our house and organize all the things and getting the building done and checking all these things. It's hugely important to have a focus, especially for me, you know, have a focus on it and making sure everything goes well. And that's the moment where you can make it count. You know, it's important. It's, you know, it's now or, you know, much more complicated later and many surprises you don't want to have. So that was one part, you know, and having some space to actually do it and trusting that still, you know, everything is fine with in terms of, you know, projects and work and abundance, but still accepting that we have the space. We had the space to, you know, focus on that project, you know. And then there might be other times where it's, for me, for example, it's, okay, that's the time to really focus on my music. And I get the space where I can actually do more creations, more creative work, and refresh some of my own things and have to focus on that. So it's really cool. I learned that to ask myself, okay, what's right now, what's, you know, what's the focus? What does my energy should go to? That was a weird sentence.
What
should my energy go to?
I love that. Again, going back to that morning reflection or morning prayer, morning affirmation, just like asking spirit or asking, you know, source, nature, okay, guide my energy to flow where it's meant to flow today. Guide me, show me, lead me, knowing that we're a channel for that source energy to move through us. And sometimes when we can let go of our mind of what we think we should do, or what we think is going to create the most money, it's sometimes not even about that at all that's going to bring the greatest miracles, abundance, blessings, fun, joy into our life. So asking to be guided, asking to be led, and then really being receptive to the signs, being receptive to what is sparking your joy.
Yeah, beautiful. So I would say this is one prompt you could use for tomorrow. So on this prompt, we can end the episode also. So I would say, yeah, let's do an experiment. And in the morning, ask yourself the question of, yeah, so what, tune into yourself and ask yourself, okay, what is the most impactful thing I can do today? Where should my energy go today? What deserves my focus today? And then give yourself a couple of minutes, maybe. Ideally, do it in the morning, right after you wake up, because then you are less in your mind. You are still in your intuition much more. And the first couple of things that come up, you know, write them down and then see if that would actually help you to, yeah, have a better, more impactful day.
I love that. All right. So we're going to go to sleep. It's pretty late over here. And we'll wake up with that prompt, and we're excited to hear from you. So send us a love note, send us a message on Instagram at pranamoremusica, or email, or, you know, however you find the way to reach us. And we look forward to hearing your feedback on this episode or any of the life learnings that you've received this year. And we'll see you next time.
For part two.
Part two. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.